Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
Do you know your responsibility as a believer in Christ? In today's message, Pastor Joel expands on what God expects from true followers in Christ as he begins to close the teaching series entitled, Examining Your Investment Portfolio.
And that's the problem with the church. We don't want to let go of some things, okay? Now, also in the church, people come in and some will jump, shout, and praise the Lord and appear to be with the program, and they might be, okay? But after services and away from the altar, you can't be murmuring and starting problems and vitriol in the church. The Bible speaks against that, okay? The very people, you can't be going against the people who God put in front of you to lead you. If there's a problem, what does the Bible say? You go to that person, don't you? Okay? Go to that person. If you got aught with somebody. And it said, if it's an elder, you take two people with you, right? In the presence of two or more. This is all the word of God. But you don't stir stuff up. Okay? Because that's what the devil wants. That's what he wants us to do. But look at what the word says. Tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 7 to 9. Pastor, are you there?
Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 9 mm-hmm. says, remember those who rule over you, mm-hmm. who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. You all understand that. You know, in many churches, maybe not your church, maybe a church near you, okay? Those of you who are watching on social media. But people will bring this behavior in the church, and the Bible tells us not to do it. We don't behave in church like we do in the world. That's a poisonous attitude to have in God's house. It's like pouring gasoline in the corner of the church. Every time you spread that stuff, it's like dousing gasoline in the church. Pretty soon somebody's going to light a match. And you see, it's because some people's hearts are being carried away. It says by strange doctrines. If you don't know God's doctrine, you'll be taken away by the devil's doctrines. And we'll start acting. You know, it says be consistent so that when you leave church, this doesn't leave your heart. That's the problem. You know, you get to sitting by yourself and you get to thinking, I don't like so-and-so. I should be. And that devil just work on you. See, and you take that thing in you before you know you're all hard-hardened and you're bitter and different things like that. The devil does that to people. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people leave churches in a huff because the church wasn't run like they thought it was to be run. Or they didn't like somebody. One lady left because she didn't like another lady who sat on the other side of the church. She left. Never said why I had to get it third and fourth hand. How you going to leave the church because you don't like somebody? That's probably was your test why God had you there, so you could learn to love the unlovable. But you left. Now they probably still leaving churches. Going in circles, like the song says, till you come to the Lord, until you get right with the Lord. And that's just it. And Elisa was talking to a lady the other day. She didn't like the pastor. Didn't like the pastor's wife. It's not her wife. It's the pastor's wife. I don't understand. But that's why I'm not God. Jesus is God, and he understands, okay? So what people don't understand is that a church is not supposed to be run like you think it should be run. It's not supposed to be run like I think it should be run. It's supposed to be run like God says it's going to be run, right? And that's what, if we keep that in mind, we'll be all right, okay? But then you got to believe in him to follow that rule. Now, if you don't believe and there's something wrong, okay, that's between you and him. Get deep in that word, okay? Let somebody pray for you, okay? Lay hands on you, fast, okay? Don't eat that food anymore. Lay off them fries, whatever the case may be. And just fast and pray in front of the Lord. And let him get you right. Because, you know, food can mess us up too. You know, you eat that stuff that raise your blood pressure and everything. You know, you might be thinking anything. You may be having delusions of grandeur. So we need to stay on point. And this Bible keeps you on point. The house of God should be run by the head of the house, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's who the church is run by. But listen to this, saints, very carefully, very carefully. Don't expect Jesus to show up in this pulpit and you see just a white glow. And don't expect Jesus to show up at your church and start preaching to you. No, he puts people to do his will. Okay? He said he gave himself. He himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? Pastor, read that for us, please. Read Ephesians 4, 12 to 16. I know we're running out of time. I'm going to try to speed this up.
Ephesians 4, 12.
Ephesians 4, 12 to 16.
To 16 tells us, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity, till we all come to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness deceitful plotting.
That's good, Pastor. Yeah, you know the rest, right? Speaking the truth in love and everything else, this is telling us that Jesus has equipped the saints for the work of his ministry to edify the body of Christ. We're to edify one another. We're to help one another. We're to teach one another. Everything in place, but not by man, by Christ Jesus. How do you know it's by Christ Jesus? Read your word. How do you know it's by Christ Jesus? Test the Spirit. 1 John 4:1. Learn the word of God so you can know, and that way you won't be led out astray, floundering like a cork on the ocean, because that's what the devil wants you to be, okay? Some people are in church, but they get so messed up they're not hearing anything that the word is saying because they got so many things that are going on in their mind that the devil is snatching it, okay? We got to be better than that. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, okay, in Ephesians 6:11. And that's what we have to do. So he wants to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And listen carefully to this. Jesus puts leaders in place. Those leaders must lead by his orders and not their own. Do you all understand that? All the churches understand that. The pastors are supposed to lead by Jesus' orders and not their own. Check them and see if what they're doing is in the word of God. It's very simple, okay? That's what we have to do. Because that's the way the Bible instructs us. I sure hope that we understand, because if you're complaining, grumbling, gossiping how church affairs ought to be run or anything else which has been made obvious that it is in operation directly with this Bible, okay? These are God's guidelines. And when we go and do not adhere to that, you can't pay adequately into your investment portfolio. It's going to be inadequate. It's going to be anemic, all right? This is very important that you understand that. And that's not good for you. Pastor, take us again to the book of Hebrews, please, 13 to 17, and read that for us.
Hebrews 13:17 tells us, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, I have to say, you all, I know so many pastors who are very sad men. I know some pastors and probably some women too, but I know some men who are very sad. They want to quit. Grieved. They're grieved. It's sad. It's sad. I don't know how we as churches let the devil run people out of church. I don't understand that. I guess the Lord knew when he got me. I don't care. I come from a hard-hitting area. I come from an area where you don't quit. I come from an area there where you take a hit for the Lord, okay? See, when you put your life on the line and you've been near death and you had to fight for your life a few times, not once, oh, a few times. When you've been outnumbered 60-1 and you come out of it, you ain't going to bar down to no demon. You're not going to bar down to the devil, especially now that you know you're walking with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. How are you going to quit when he called you for the job? If one person show up, you preach to him. If two people show up, you preach to him. If 20,000 show up, you preach to him. But you preach. And if they don't show up, you preach to the angels, okay? Until God says you've been relieved of your duties. That's how the church is supposed to be run. That is exactly how it's supposed to be run. Anybody got a problem with that? Take it up with the Lord. Get on your face and maybe he'll reveal it to you. But this is how the church is supposed to be run. Okay? And if we did that as human beings, as men and women of God, the devil wouldn't have an out. He'd have to go somewhere else. He said, I better go somewhere else to one of them prosperity preaching churches. I better go somewhere else to one of them you're blessed and highly favored churches. I better go to one of them churches that they just lay down on the ground. And I better go to them churches because this church ain't having it. Amen. But I know men who are suffering right now, and they're looking to quit, and that is so sad. That is so sad. But if we look at this Bible, it's our job to carry out God's orders. And the Bible makes it clear that by causing the pastor's grief or your leader's grief or your elder's grief, okay, God can't pay into your account in you doing that. A lot of people are going through stuff right now because you're grieving. You're grieving the Lord. And the Lord is being grieved. You grieve his people, you're grieving the Lord. You remember Numbers 12, chapter 12? Pastor, can you read this quickly? I keep saying we're going to leave, but I keep getting stuff. Can you read Numbers 12, verses 2 to 12? You won't have to read it all. You remember Miriam and Moses and Aaron?
Numbers 12, 2 to 12?
Yeah, just start reading it.
Okay.
Then we'll cut it off when the Lord
Okay,
says
cut
so.
It off when, okay. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it? The Lord heard it.
The Lord heard it.
Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting.
That's it. That's all you need to read. Can you imagine somebody talking about Moses? And the Lord said, Moses didn't call the Lord. The Lord heard it. He said, come out, you three. Can you imagine? Said, look what y'all did now. Got me in the, walking out there with you all. If he smoked you, I'm wondering. This is big. And it says down in verse 6, hear now my words. This is the Lord talking. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He's faithful in all my house. This is what the Lord is saying. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? That's big. I don't want to question that type of thing. Not when I know somebody is sent from the Lord. Not when I know what the Lord has done in a person's life. The word doesn't change, you all. That applies today. I don't know if we know that. So I can't express to you enough the importance of heeding God's warnings about obedience to those he places in position. Okay? And it's not like he's placed people there for them to do what they want to do. If that person doesn't do what they want to do, watch out. Chances are you're going to see what happens to that person because they answer to God. Okay? God is not slack in his promises. So we need to see these things. If God calls you and chooses you to lead, then that's what That's what he's going to tell you to do with his people. God is going to tell you how to lead his people. And but that old devil and his demons, he'll work on people. He'll find a way to get people to come against God's people. The devil, he'll use people to cause others to stumble. And it'll breed like mold. You know how mold grows? That's what happens. Oftentimes, we Christians lead the church due to being drawn away by the false opinions of other people. So a weak person hear you saying something wrong, and they get into that whole thing. Now, you just messed that person up. And you're wondering why you haven't gotten your increase. See, because you may not know you're doing this. This word is powerful. This is the word of God, okay? Jesus promises, he said, if you call one of these little ones to stumble, you may well tie a millstone around your neck and jump into the ocean or the sea or the estuary or your pool or whatever else you want to jump into, a pool. But look at what the Lord says in 1 Samuel chapter 8. I'm going to try to get out, try to get y'all. I'm almost there. 1 Samuel chapter 8, Pastor, can you read that for us?
1 Samuel chapter 8.
This was when people made demands for the king to lead. You remember that King Saul? And they wanted to be governed by the other nations and all the other folks, so to speak. And God had sent Samuel to him. Read 4 to 7, please.
1 Samuel 8, chapter 8, verses 4 through 7 uh-huh. says, then all the elders of Israel gathered together mm-hmm. and came to Samuel at Ramah mm-hmm. and said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Mm-hmm. But the thing displeased Samuel mm-hmm. when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you.
Now listen to this. Uh-huh.
For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.
Amen. You hear that? They didn't reject Samuel. They were rejecting the Lord by rejecting the man that he put there. This is important, you all. This is important. And I don't want to alarm anybody, but to those of you who are hearing this on Periscope and everything, it's my job to sound the alarm. It's my job to tell the truth, as the Bible says in Isaiah 58:1. It's my job to tell you. If I don't, then I get it, okay? I don't mind taking a hit for Jesus, but I ain't taking one for that, okay? I'm going to put the word out. So let me share something with you all. And I'm sure that you may be aware of a scripture in the Bible that says, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Okay, this is in two places. It's 1 Corinthians 16:22, and it's also in Psalm 105:13-15, okay? It's in there too. I find it curious that that's in two places, okay? Nowhere is this more applicable as it is in the case of people coming against God's churches today, which are, of course, God's people, God's leaders. Therefore, we've got to understand how this applies to those who are chosen by the Lord. We need to understand the importance of this type of sinful behavior, this type of conduct, is related to coming against leaders. This must be an issue. I'm going to tell you why I know this is an issue, because I wasn't going to preach this sermon today. And I go to the Lord, and you all know, on a Thursday, Wednesday, I go to the Lord. I sit down, the Lord, what you have for me to do? And he'll tell me to get my pen. And I was all ready to preach something else. Didn't want to bombard anybody with this again. This is the third week of this. And the Lord told me, you got more to say. Say it. He told me to say it. He wouldn't allow me to leave this sermon, would he? She knows we both get on our knees and pray to the Lord. And he speaks to us just like he's been doing. He said, you have more to say in this sermon, and that's why I'm preaching. He said I was to stay here and give this word. So I pray that whomever needs to hear it, I pray that we will truly adhere to it. I don't go around trying to find out who's doing what. The Lord's going to tell me sooner or later. Sometimes he tells me quick. Sometimes I find out later. But I hope the people that are doing it will come to see what the Lord is saying, because this is important. And I see that my time is about done, so I'm already over, okay? But before I close, let me share this one last bit of sobering information with you today about how God truly feels about his people that he puts in place. Sometimes those people don't know. I saw with my own eyes. These are things that I've witnessed. I witnessed someone who was coming against God's anointed, as well as his leadership. Not only did God strike this person down, but he blinded them, left them paralyzed. I've seen other people reduced to childlike status. I've seen it. I've also seen other people who have come against the Lord, people very cavalierly, and they are floating around like spiritual nomads to this day. To this day. Now, if you look at Isaiah 41:13, it says, those who come against you, those who make it hard for you, they will be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. Those who grieve you, it go down there and listen and see it and see what it says. Those who contend with you, those who make war with you shall perish. He said, you'll seek them and not find them. This is real talk. This is what the Lord is saying. And so we need to understand that God's word, God has a plan, for a true plan for each and every one of our lives, especially in his church. Y'all, we can't mess with that. We need to do what the Lord says. Okay, we need to pay attention to what the Lord is saying. He said, because truly, you're going to, that's what happens. That's why he gave me that song, Going in Circles. We can't keep going in circles. We got to come to the Lord and stay there. I mean, come to him on his terms and not our terms. Amen. So in closing, just let me say to us all, be sure to examine your investment portfolios. When you get home, get with the Lord, inventory yourself. Be sure to invest in what God is telling us to do. Amen. That's the most important thing. Not what somebody told you, but what the Lord is telling you to do by his word. It's right there in his word. Choose the proper investment to make. And once you read it, then heed it. Amen. Amen. And to those of you who are watching today, have you made the proper investment? Do you know Jesus? It's time to get to know him if you don't. If you don't know Jesus, tomorrow is not granted. There are people dying every day. We see that you can have all the money. You can have all the plans. Kobe Bryant, I loved him. Had it all. He didn't know that day his soul would be required of him and his daughter. That's a lesson for all of us. That's a lesson. We can't depend on anything else. No. The most expensive car, whatever you've got, the best job, counts for nothing if your eternal investments are not properly secure. Amen. So I'd like to pray for you if you don't know Jesus. I'd like to lead you to him. Pray this prayer with me with sincerity, and you'll be a child of God. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I repent my sins to you right now. I believe that you died for mankind and God raised you from the dead. If that's you, would you come into my life and be my Savior? I need a Savior. I want my investment to be secure in you. Teach me, Lord, and I'll follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Deuteronomy 6 instructs us to diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. Amen. Amen. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow him. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Listen, while you're there, connect with us. Like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. In need of prayer or encouragement? We're here for you. Call 707-759-5244. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks again for tuning into Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for another powerful word with Pastor Joel. Until next time.
God is good.